There are many situations where it's of great importance to follow instructions correctly. Like, for instance, defusing a bomb, or an employer expects an employee to work according to instructions. And legal matters require exactness. In fact, good intentions don't change the matter from importance of instructions. But those who please God are those who do His will. But first, we have to understand His will. And this is something that is essential to our development as a Christian. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So notice, we must realize that we have the ability to know, or else He wouldn't say this, and we can understand His authority. People who are confused about it just need to study more, because it is understandable. Now, for the past few Sundays, we have discussed lessons dealing with the need for authority for all practices. Many are not aware or are unconcerned with this subject. I see such things as, well, I don't know. It takes more to be truly of Christ, and what can we do about it? And many truths just isn't important. Well, that's nice. I had a fellow one time. I sat with him, I talked to him, explained to him Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and the relevant passages. And he sat there and smiled at me and said, "That's nice. Well, thanks a lot." And that was it. That was it. I thought, okay, did he hear me? Or was he listening to me? But anyhow, in our last lesson, though, we discussed the silence of the Scriptures. And you remember we talked about many who justify what they do by saying, well, God didn't say not to do this or that, whatever. Well, this introduced and or got us into an introduction of generic authority. So I want to start today with the two types of authority that are contained within the pages of God's Word. First of all, there is specific and then generic. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, when God specifies, all other things in the same category are excluded. And with generic authority, generic leaves man free to choose. And this is the beauty of the Bible. The Bible message is a message that applies in every age. Every age. It doesn't matter where you look on the stream of time, from the time that the Lord died on the cross until now, the Bible's the same. It still carries the same message. Now, today, we want to begin with a discussion on expediency. Now, when we talk about expediency, we are talking about aids or methods. At times, people say, well, this is only an aid, or this is the most expedient way of doing a command. Well, the first thing we have to talk about is, what does this word expedient mean? Looking at it from a biblical point of view, we understand it to mean fit, suitable for a purpose, favorable or practical. And it is from the word expedite, which we understand to be free the feet to hasten, carry out quickly or efficiently. Now, the word aid is a person or thing that helps. Now, how do we determine if a practice is expedient? That is, whether it's an aid or method. And that's really where we have to bear down and make some understandings. First of all, expedience must be lawful. You may think of something that'll do it, but if it's not lawful, you can't do it that way. Expedience in carrying out God's commands or statements or approved examples or necessary inference, all must be lawful. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, and also chapter 10 and verse 23. They're pretty much the same. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful or expedient, King James Version. All things are lawful for me, but I want to be brought under the power of any. And then verse 23 of chapter 10. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or expedient, King James. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, not that all things are lawful, but things authorized are lawful or they are permitted. For instance, in the context, he's talking about eating meat. And what he's talking about here is there were some who, because of their prior practices with worshiping idols and eating meat offered unto idols, were a little troubled by it. Not that they realized or wanted to think that the idol was anything, but it bothered them. And so he suggests to them or instructs them, if you will, don't offend the brother's conscience. If he doesn't want to eat meat, don't make him. And that's just a simple thing. But if something is not authorized, now that's just a matter of conscience, it is therefore unlawful, sinful, or iniquity, or whatever you want to call it. And those who do unlawful things are guilty of not keeping the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. There is no such thing as being authorized by the law of expediency. No such thing. That type of reasoning makes the end justify the means. You look over here and say, well, here's something needs to be done. And you say, I think I'll do it this way. So therefore, it's expedient. Forgot about whether it's lawful or not. And that's what the problem is. That's what the problem is. The law governs expediency, but the law does not authorize expediency. What appears to man as an expedient may not be such in the eyes of God. And I want to call your attention to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. They came to Nacon's threshing floor, and Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. Now, notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 13, this event is recollected. And he says, because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. Now, I want you to understand, they were getting the job done. David had him construct a new ox cart. And they were rolling along, just happy as could be, jumping up and down and happy that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was being brought back. But look what he says in 1 Chronicles 15:13. We did not consult him about the proper order. They were not doing it the right way. And Uzzah was struck dead instantly. Sometimes what God authorizes might be considered old-fashioned, but it must be respected, or else we are guilty of perverting God's ways. God has a reason for specifying, although we may not know the reason. Thus, an expedient must be in the realm of generic authority. If something's specified, there's only the choice to obey or disobey. I want you to realize that now. If something is specified, you only have to choose between obeying and disobeying. Take your pick. To do something different from what God specified is rebellion and is not of faith. We cannot justify it by saying, well, it feels right. You know, I look back on history in the Bible, and I find in Genesis chapter 6, God specified gopher wood for the ark. Now, he could have said to himself, well, you know, that gopher wood's hard to get. This other wood's just as good, and it might be more convenient to go and get it, and it might be easier to cut. But he couldn't. He couldn't. Nadab and Abihu, oh boy. Remember what happened to them? Look at Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Nadab and Abihu, who were sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire on it, or in it, and put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. Now, what happened? Now, keep in mind, their job was to burn incense. Their job was to burn incense. They were getting the job done. But it was not what the Lord had commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died there before the Lord. Did you see that? Strange fire. Strange fire that the Lord had not commanded them. Expediency involves a choice in matters not specified in carrying out the command. For instance, Noah had the choice of gopher wood trees. He had his choice of tools. He had his choice of where he was going to build it. But there were specific instructions given that had to be followed. Thus, something in the realm that is specified by God is not an expedient. It is an addition to God's word. Aids enable us to carry out God's commands. Without adding anything to the command. I'll give you an example of what we mean by this. Singing. When a songbook is used, like we do here, you have only sing. You don't have singing book. The book is merely an expedient. However, should we use a mechanical instrument, it involves another kind of music. What is specified in God's word? Sing. So we can do anything that facilitates the sing. That perhaps using something mechanical as an instrument might aid the sound. I could probably pluck the guitar up here and make it sound pretty good. But that's not what God commands. Let's again look at baptism. Baptism requires a burial or dipping or plunging. Because why? Baptism, that's the word. That's what it means. Romans 6 and verse 4 carries this out. Now, we're not told where to baptize. We have examples of baptisms in rivers and pools of water and so forth. So we conclude what? That the place is a matter of choice. A baptistry, per se, is an aid. Nothing changes when you use a baptistry. For instance, my grandson was baptized in June Lake. Well, you say, why did you do that? Well, a series of events. Church and bishop had a hole in their baptistry, and we couldn't go down there and baptize him. So we went out in the lake and did it. And other than coming up with his pants full of sand, it worked pretty well. In fact, he's preaching. But anyway, we have to conclude that the place is a matter of choice. And the purpose is the same. We use swimming pools regularly. But some might say, well, now, you can sprinkle or pour, and it's the same as a baptistry. No, it's not. It's a different action. It's not dipping or plunging. Sprinkling or pouring is sprinkling or pouring. Now, we're commanded to assemble. Now, when you have a commandment to assemble, what is implied in that? Well, you have to have a place. Whether you purchase a place, rent a place, or you meet out under a brush arbor or under a tree, those are all aids or expediencies that have to do with the purpose for assembling, worshiping, teaching, admonishing, and so forth. There are some things which enable us to carry out that purpose. For instance, we have lights. That's an expedient. We have, today, heat. But other days, air conditioning. Restrooms. A water cooler. We have a choice as to what to do to facilitate an assembly. But expediency does not authorize the use of that which has no relation to the purpose of the assembly. Illustrations. A kitchen for social activities. A gymnasium to entertain the members and the children. And I could go on and on and on in the list. No such thing. And yes, they do have bowling alleys back in Tennessee. But you see, those don't have any relation to the purpose for the assembling of the body. We couldn't say, well, we're going to put a bowling alley in so we can all meet and worship. No, can't do that. And I think the one over here in Santa Paula has a basketball court. They make full utilization of their facilities. But that's not what the church is authorized to do. What about preaching the gospel? Well, we have a choice of means. We have methods or ways that we can facilitate the meetings. For instance, we have the pulpit, as you see here. We can be on the radio. I've had radio programs through the years, TV programs, printed page, or we could even use Zoom, which I've done as well. What changes when I preach a sermon on Zoom that is not the same here? Nothing. The sermons that I'm posting on our website each day, or not really, because it's more like about a week or two from Drew. He's kind of slow at posting them. But I put his lessons on our webpage, and they get a lot of views. Too bad I couldn't do that. Put a camera up here and it'd scare everybody off. But anyway, but we have our sermons on the website in audio, and we have the charts available. We don't change the command any. And let me say this, an aid is not another organization which must use the same means as a local congregation. In other words, we don't hire someone to start a business to sell Bibles or to preach gospel. We don't do it. The church is to do it. It's not an aid to go on and do something outside the church. Plus the fact that an expediency must edify. Did you catch that in our reading? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Expedient. An expedient that's called such does not cause destruction in the body of Christ. Destruction is the opposite of edification. You put something in as an expedient and say it's an expedient, and it causes friction, it causes problems, maybe even division. It wasn't an expedient because it doesn't edify. Not to mention that it's unauthorized. All is to be done to edification. How is it then, brethren? 1 Corinthians 14, I'll get that up there. And verse 26, how is it that each one of you, when you come together, you have a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, or an interpretation? Now look at this last one. This is in the time when they had miraculous gifts. But listen to what it says. Let all things be done for edification. There you are. Now, if a practice in the realm of choice, we must not pursue it if it results in harm of any kind. I think one of the best passages to look at is Romans chapter 14, because it deals with doing things that might harm a brother's conscience. If your brother's grieved because of your food, you no longer are walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Now, Paul goes on in this context to say that he would eat no meat the rest of his life, if that's what it meant. If your brother is grieved, his conscience is grieved because of your food, you no longer walk in love. And if an aid results in division, as we mentioned a moment ago, it's not an expedient. And let me tell you what, the use of instrumental music has been pulled into the work of the church as an expedient, and is again being done, pulled into the work of the Lord's church by churches of Christ. Yes. Yeah. They have an instrumental service and they have a non-instrumental. The non-instrumental is for those old fogies, you know, that won't bend. But this very fact that it causes a schism in the body is a reason not to do it. But that plenty of reasons in the realm of authority. We must do what God specifies regardless of reaction to it. If we are faced with such a thing, it may result in division. For instance, they come in, bring in the organ, it causes division. Do we stand our ground? Yes. Because it's a violation of the word. If they come in and say, well, baptism's really not that important. I know you're thinking, oh, that never happens. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That happened in a church out in the desert. The fellow said, baptism's not necessary. It's a good idea. And they call themselves the Church of Christ. But if that were to happen, we would have to stand our ground. And as we've already noted, an expedient must not cause offense to another's conscience. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32, Paul says, give no offense to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church of God. Liberty controlled by the conscience of another. How can we say that? Well, in chapter 10 and verse 29, Paul says, conscience, I say not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? You cannot just run roughshod over your brother. Now, his conscience says, no, we can't eat meat. Okay, we'll just forget about the meat. We'll study it, and maybe you'll change your mind, but we're not going to run roughshod over you. You say, well, why won't they do that over the instrument? Think about it for just a moment. They're saying, we're going to have the instrument, like it or not. Okay, we're going to do something that God hasn't authorized, that God hasn't given any authority for, and you're going to like it. No, we don't work that way. That is introducing something sinful. Well, what about eating meat? That's not sinful. Whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, it doesn't matter. You can be a vegetarian or you can eat meat. Take your pick. It's not in the same category. Matters of liberty must be in the realm of generic authority. Only in such matters do we yield to another. We should be concerned with expedience in doing the Lord's work. Yes. Why? We need to be sure that expedients are authorized and not the practice of iniquity. Simple as that. We have been emphasizing the Lord's authority, and our time is just about up. The question is, are we willing to accept the authority that comes from above? Are we willing to live by faith? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have a responsibility to do what he asks of me. I can't run roughshod over him. I can't pretend that he didn't say it. He said it, and I must do it. If we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel today, or if you are a child of God who has let sin run roughshod over you, repent. Ask for God's forgiveness and be assured that he will indeed forgive you if you repent. If you're willing to do that, we're here to help you in any way possible.